Hello, just checking in. Where are you?
Hi, Titi. Where are you?
Joe, where are you?
How are you, Joe?
Oh my God, Joe. Where are you?
Yo, Ciel, ¿y dónde diablo tú andas?
Hey guys, welcome back. Welcome to the Where Are Joe and the Curls podcast. This episode is a thought dump episode. Me just talking about different things that have recently happened to me. So I'll start by saying that when someone does something to me, my first response is always, I wouldn't have done them like that. Because if given the chance, I wouldn't have acted the way that they did. But what I fail to realize is that it's deeper than that. Of course, I can't expect you to act like, I can't expect you to see my perspective because we all have different lens. I can't expect loyalty from someone who's not loyal to themselves or to others around them. I can't expect honesty from someone who's not honest with themselves. I can't expect communication from someone who doesn't dig deep within themselves and has self-awareness and is able to self-reflect. And I say all of this to say that I wasn't okay because I was recently betrayed by one of my close friends. And what hurts me the most is how I betrayed myself in the process. Because I was fully notified by my intuition long before it was brought to the light. But I brushed it off because I couldn't see that person lying to me or omitting the truth. I wanted my intuition to be wrong. I wanted to get it all wrong. Would I have done them like that? No, I wouldn't. But I can't expect people to see my side. I do expect people to stand by their word. And I've noticed this from multiple people. How they portray themselves as one thing, but do the opposite. People love to claim that they're honest until it's time to be honest about the right things. People love to claim that they're great at communicating until it's time to communicate. And there's a major difference in you saying you're an honest person, but you're only honest when it's being brutally honest towards someone's appearance, towards their clothes, towards their decisions, towards their life, when you're being insensitive or fucked up, as opposed to when you're being honest to someone despite not wanting to hurt them emotionally, despite how you think that this person will react. Let's say your partner has no problem telling you that you're fat, that you look ugly in that dress, versus them telling you that they no longer feel the same way about you, that they want to see someone else, that they want to explore other options. And the same thing goes for friends. The only time that they're honest is when they're bringing someone else down or bringing you down. And with communication, people claiming that they love communicating, but they're only able to discuss when you've done something wrong to them. But when they do something to you, it's silent. They only want to speak up when you owe them money, but when they owe you, they don't say anything. They speak up when you trigger them, but they don't reciprocate that space to you. I usually don't give myself the grace to feel and process my emotions, but I'm learning how to do so. I am learning to take the time to grieve, to cry, to process them however they want to come out. I will say that I believe that I'm a very compassionate and understanding person. I believe that I hold space for people to feel safe and vulnerable with me. I see how some of my listeners come to me and open up, and I love that. But my brain tried to question that by asking if it's that people don't feel safe being honest with me. And no, I fucking refuse to develop this belief. Because like I said, you can't expect honesty from people who aren't honest with themselves. For now, let's move on. I have a job. I work, I do. For those that always ask me, what do I do for a living? Or ask me if I sell drugs? No, I work with children. I have to share this because it happened twice. The message clearly wanted to be heard. I recently picked up one of the girls and I immediately sensed that something was off. She didn't hug me when she saw me. She didn't really smile. She was more quiet. When we got to the train station, I finally asked what was wrong. And she said she wanted to stay playing with her friends at school. I had told her the plans and she still wasn't excited because she wanted to play with them. During this outing, she was quiet, so I didn't feel like forcing it. But as we're walking, I see this huge sign that says, "Keep swimming." I laughed because I just knew that it was a sign for me to keep fucking going despite how I feel that the world isn't ending. If I keep swimming, I'll eventually get to where I want to go. Anyways, we go into this coffee shop and the barista immediately recognized me, as weeks earlier we had went there. I found that impressive as there's thousands of people coming in and out per week, as it's located in a busy area. Anyways, he gives me a free coffee made to perfection, exactly how I love it. I almost cried right there, but I kept my composure because this man was literally changing the mood of my day. And a side note, I am learning to accept free things. I am learning to accept people wanting to treat me, people wanting to pay for me, people wanting to take me out. I fought this for so long because I love claiming I'm so independent. Okay, well, that's stopping now, because if I truly want to embrace my feminine side, I have to be okay with people showing up for me and wanting to do nice things for me. But back to the coffee. I grabbed my coffee, I grabbed my child, and I am walking East 86th Street like I'm back to being the main character. As we're crossing the street, an older man winks at me and I almost lost my shit. Because in my mind, the way I interpreted this was like in the movies when two people are working undercover and they signal one another when to go. I fucking knew that he was winking at me because I was on the right path. He was confirming to keep swimming. As for the child I work with, the same thing happens with another one. It was her birthday and she really wanted to go to IHOP, but her mom said no because they were cooking. So I told her that I would take her to my favorite protein waffle shop. She was sad, like she almost cried, and I understood her. I'm huge on birthdays. Like, I start celebrating April 1st. Then I get this ding from the universe and I immediately knew that she wanted IHOP because of the happy face that they put on these pancakes. So I asked the owners if they could put a happy face on her waffle. We sing happy birthday to her. She turns that frown upside down, and now here's what I learned. God has something better for you, but you want to stay behind. You want to stay behind and play. You want the route that feels familiar. You want comfort. You want to stay where you've always been, but what's coming is better than what you're leaving behind. You can't stay and play with your friends because your playing season is over. You've played with your goals and dreams for far too long. You've been settling. You've been sitting in your comfort zone for far too long. It's time to remove yourself from the playground. Now moving on. My dreams have become more vivid. They are becoming messages. They're showing me what I have worked on, what I need to work on, what will be happening. Now, I don't know the why to this one, but I guess at the moment it's not relevant to know. But the universe has chosen an individual that I went to college with to deliver all these messages. Now, most of my college moments are a blur, but I do remember that I was shy around this individual because I knew that there was a certain light to him. I didn't understand it at the time. I just felt like he had this glow to him. His voice and accent were very captivating. Like, you would choose him to narrate your books. And I'm getting carried away, so let me tell you the messages. In the first dream, he told me to let go of my type, to let go of my comfort zone, to stop doing the things that I do on routine, to allow myself to branch out and explore new things. Ever since he said that, I've been doing nail colors that I normally would not do. Cherry red, black. I've been experiencing New York City like a tourist. I've pushed past my fears and I've been up and down those trains by myself. I'm trying to pick up books that would normally not be on my to be read selection. I am allowing others to lead, to plan. I am surrendering in all areas. I am posting more. I'm learning to be quiet. I'm learning to not defend myself. I'm learning not to be reactive. I am literally destroying my comfort zone. In the second dream, he showed me that he had a girlfriend. In the dream, I knew instantly that he was showing me my unwillingness to become emotionally available, but that I was breaking free from that pattern, because until I didn't break completely free, all of the men that I would attract would be the same. In the third dream, I missed a flight because I was waiting on him. As I was waking up with a foggy mind, I asked myself if unconsciously I thought that I missed any chances while in college, or if I feel like I let an opportunity or a person go. Was I having regrets? This dream I decoded later on in the day while being fully conscious. And what I believe this dream meant was that I cannot miss anything that is not for me. We experience everything in the way that we are supposed to experience them. Nothing that is meant for us will pass us. You are at the right place at the right time. Everything that is meant for you will make its way to you. And everything that is not for you will escape you. Those things that are not working out for you are truly working out for you. And the final dream that I'll share now, because y'all need to stay out of our astral travels. In this dream, he got upset for something minor and he told me that he no longer wanted to speak to me. And in the dream, I immediately knew that he was mirroring the old me. He was showing me how I would let little things get to me. But the most important piece of this dream that I used weeks later was that throughout this journey, throughout my life, people will be upset at me. I also serve as a mirror for people, so some will be triggered by me, and that is okay. It's okay to have people upset at me. It's okay to give them the space to process their emotions. But someone being upset at me for setting boundaries is not my responsibility. It does not fall on me. Someone being upset at me for protecting and loving myself, for me isolating myself, for me choosing myself, does not make me a bad person. It says more about them than it does about me. They need to work on their ego and learn why they can't take no for an answer. They need to work on being less manipulative and controlling, as they can no longer control me. I have people upset at me because I'm no longer the doormat girl. I'm no longer the yes girl. I am no longer allowing people to keep crossing my boundaries with no repercussion. I'm not allowing people to use me. I'm no longer allowing people to disrespect me, my time, and my energy. And I'll give you a small example. I recently told two of my friends that I did not appreciate them canceling on me last minute or constantly being late. as I find that highly disrespectful as I arrange my schedule to fit them in when I could have been working out or doing something else. And I told them this, knowing that it could backfire, that they could be offended and choose to walk away or choose to act like victim. Yet they didn't. They responded with apologies and understood where I was coming from. And I say this here because a lot of people pride themselves in being the late person, and that's highly disrespectful to constantly leave people waiting on you. When you make doctors, a nail, a hair appointment, you show up on time. You're not late because you know you have a high chance of being canceled. So why would you do it to your friends? You're not going to tell me that you're always in traffic, there's always something. Plan accordingly, especially when it's dinner reservations or plans made in advance. And now I'll get back to the piece of friendships. And what I've realized is that we have this lack mentality. And I realized that we have this lack mentality because I was telling my story to one of my friends, and her response was, are you going to cut them off? You've been friends with them for years. And I knew that she would have that response because a lot of people come from a lack mentality. A lot of people don't realize that there are 8 billion people on this fucking planet, and you choose to stay by people that do you dirty, that have no conscience, that have no loyalty, that are unwilling to open up to you, that are unable or unwilling to reciprocate what you offer, just because you've known them since middle school. And let me tell you, I don't give a fuck. I don't care if you were at the hospital with my mom as she was giving birth to me. If I feel like you are no longer of service to my life, like you are no longer adding value to me, like we are no longer growing, like you are stagnant and you are choosing to stay there. You are choosing to stay there weeks and weeks and weeks in talking about the same shit, the same problem. Yeah, you need to go out of my life. And I'm very selective with the people who I let into my life. Why? Because energy is contagious. You are the sum total of your friends. Believe that. There's a reason why you guys are friends. You share the same values. You like the same things. There's a lot of common shit between you all. You vibe on the same frequency. So my friends are a mirror of me. When you see my friends and when you meet my friends, which is why I have no problem bringing them all around each other, is because they share the same mindset. We're all on the same path. It doesn't have to be that we're all head to head on the same race, but it just means that we're coming in close. That one is not a mile away and one is 5 miles ahead of me. No, we're literally all on this journey of life together. So there's 8 billion people on this planet. Why would you allow one? Why would you allow one negative one to stay in your life because you have a lack mentality? And now I really want you to listen to this quote right here. It says, we don't live at the level of our dreams. We live at the level of our teams. I'm going to repeat this. We don't live at the level of our dreams. We live at the level of our teams. Your team is what allows you to dream bigger. If you go and you tell your friends about your new idea, what do they say to you? If you tell them you want to go on a trip, what do they say to you? Are they pouring positive words into you? Do they have a lack mentality yet try to find a solution for you? Hey, you might be going to Mexico, it's not safe, but let's help you plan Peru. Hey, this might not work out for you, but let's try this way. Or are they always shutting down your dreams? Are they always trying to put you down? And most importantly, if your friends are constantly talking shit about other people, especially other people that they call best friends, you don't think that they will talk shit about you? And I'm not talking about the situations where they're venting to you, hey girl, this and this happened to me, what do you think? No, I'm talking about they're always putting down or talking shit about their best friend, or you somehow know that best friend's entire life. You don't think that they're doing it to you? And in that, if your conversation are always about gossip, you're always talking about other people, you're always talking about celebrities, you need a new group of friends. You need a new group of friends. Because your friends should be elevating you. Your friends and you should be talking about books, personal development, working out, eating healthier, keeping yourself away from the noise, trying to build better habits together, challenging each other, pushing each other. You should not be spending all your time talking shit about other people, because that says more about you guys than what it does about the person who you're talking about. Just like how we say, if he wanted to, he would. People know what the fuck they're doing. People know what they're doing to you. They just, one, don't think that you're gonna stand up for yourself. Two, that you're gonna know that you'll find out the truth. Three, that you won't sense it. And that even if you knew the truth, you would stick beside them. Don't allow people to manipulate you into staying in the same place, staying in the same situation. Do not allow people to continue to abuse you, abuse of your kindness, take advantage of your availability. Stop being the yes person in all scenarios. And I wanna dare you. I want to challenge you to say no to somebody in these upcoming weeks. Say no to somebody and see their response. I want you to notice how they act when you finally say no. Because you know your friends, you know your family, when you're constantly saying yes, when you're constantly making yourself available, they're happy. But what happens when you say no to somebody? What happens when you finally tell your friend that no, that you're not available? What happens when you tell your family that no, that you can't help them? What happens to that person when you finally say that no, that you can't lend them or give them money? How do people react when you say no to them? And pay attention, because for most people, their ego's at the forefront. And watch how they react when you finally stand up for yourself. Their reaction is going to tell you everything that you need to know about their friendship. When we talk about self-sabotage, we only speak about how we ruin relationships, how we ruin job opportunities, how we ruin a potential partner because we're afraid, because we have a fear of failure. We don't talk about how self-sabotage is also choosing to stay in places that you can no longer grow. You are staying in environments that make you shrink yourself. You're allowing toxic people into your life. You're allowing people to continuously drain your energy. You're continuously allowing people to leave you on empty. That is also self-sabotage. You are self-sabotaging who you are meant to be. You are self-sabotaging the future you for the moment. To be that yes girl. To be the one, like, to be accepted. And now, to end the episode, I want to end it, as always, with two affirmation cards that I picked out from this deck. And one of them says, the crumbling. What are you clinging on to? There is a shift happening right now where anything inauthentic can no longer survive. Relationships, jobs, social structures, anything built on shaky ground is destined to tumble down. It's happening to bring you back home to who you truly are, both individually and to society as a whole, so you can live a life that is in alignment with who you truly are. When you're in the thick of it, it can feel like a personal attack from the universe. Have faith, because the difficult times will be your defining moments. You will be reborn in the fire. You are being called to surrender, to stop trying to hold it all together, to loosen your grip, to let the crumbling occur. It may be difficult at first, but in the end, the sooner you let go, the sooner the rebirthing will occur. What are you trying to hold together? What are you doing your best to avoid? How are you trying to pretend everything is okay? You have what it takes to allow what is falling away to tumble and fall. Once the tower has crumbled, you will be able to rebuild your home on solid ground with mighty foundations and a view that is so magnificent that it will take your breath away each new morn. What are you clinging on to for the fear of nothing coming to take its place? And the last one, it says protection. Call back your power. Cut the cords. You are being called to protect your energy and call back your power. May all the lost pieces return home now. Take a look at who and what drains your energy. Do not keep your tabs open. Shut down energetically each night. Energetic cords are formed between people, places, objects, and events. So it's important to keep checking in. Your energy and energetic space are sacred, so treat them as such. Keeping your energy clear takes work. As we go through life, we can give away our power. So it is important to call it back by cutting energetic cords or doing a form of healing known as soul retrieval. Can you think of a traumatic event, relationship, or soul memory that you are being called to call back your power from? Check into your body now and see which needs an energetic cleanup. Call back your power. It is time for you to come home to yourself. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how lonely you feel, no matter how painful it is, no matter if you do not see the seeds that you planted growing, keep swimming. Don't give up. Because why would you give up in the middle of a storm? Why would you stop there? Why not go through and see it through? Everything that happens in your life is for a reason. And even if you don't know the reason, process your emotions and move on. I know I always say that I always ask for the why. And there are certain situations where you won't know the why, or where the why doesn't matter. What matters is how you show up for yourself, how you keep pouring back into yourself, how you remain consistent with yourself, but keep swimming. Keep swimming. It'll get easier. Thank you guys so much. Until next time.